מהו הצורך לשאלת כלים מהמצרים?
What is the need to borrow vessels from the Egyptians?
דבר נא,
it is written, speak now in the ears of the people that each man will borrow from his neighbor and each woman from her neighbor vessels of silver and vessels of gold, and the Lord gave the people's favor in the eyes of the Egyptians. Our sages said, the disciples of Rabbi Yannai said, do means please. The Creator said to Moses, please go and tell them, Israel, to please borrow vessels of silver and vessels of gold from the Egyptians, so that that righteous will not say, he kept and they enslaved them and afflicted them, and then he did not keep and they will come out with many possessions. This is perplexing. If the Creator wanted to keep his promise to Abraham, as it is written, and afterwards they will come out with many possessions, could he not make the people of Israel wealthy without borrowing vessels from the Egyptians? It seems like fraud. For it seems that they initially borrowed by deceit, meaning without intending to return. We should also understand why the Creator said to Moses to implore Israel to borrow vessels from the Egyptians. As is said above, that do means please or request. Also, what is this imploring? It seems to mean that the Creator knew that they would object to it. So he asked Moses to speak to Israel. Thus, we should understand the reason for Israel's objection to this. We should also understand the words, and the Lord gave the people's favor in the eyes of the Egyptians. How can we understand such a thing, which is completely contradictory? Although anything is possible from the perspective of the Creator, but from the literal perspective, this is difficult to grasp. As it is written, and the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied, and the more they spread out, and they detested the sons of Israel. Our sages said, it shows that they were as thorns in their eyes. It follows that from thorns, meaning being unable to stand the people of Israel and seeing them as thorns, they now turned completely around, and the Egyptians liked the people of Israel. The Creator's promise to Abraham, and afterwards they will come out with many possessions, we should understand the whole matter that is presented there. And he said unto him, I am the Lord who brought you out of Ul of the Chaldeans to give you this land to inherit it. And he said, Lord God, by what will I know that I will inherit it? And he said to Abram, know for certain that your descendants will be foreigners in a land that is not theirs, and they will be enslaved and oppressed for 400 years. And afterwards, they will come out with many possessions. Here too we should understand the answer that Abraham received to the question, by what will I know that I will inherit it? Since the Creator's answer was to this question, as it is written, and he said to Abram, know for certain that your descendants will be foreigners in a land that is not theirs, where they will be enslaved and oppressed 400 years, and afterward they will come out with many possessions. Thus the question was about guarantees on the inheritance, and the answer to the guarantee was that the people of Israel will be in exile. But is exile a guarantee for inheriting the land? Bana Sulam explained the meaning of this question. It is known that there is no light without a kli. That is, it is impossible to receive filling if there is no lack. A lack is called a kli. And when Abraham saw that the Creator wanted to give his sons, he said, I do not see that my sons will have a need for that spiritual inheritance of the land. He said, if they receive a small illumination, they will be content. Because the smallest degree in spirituality brings more pleasure than all the corporeal pleasures in the world. Accordingly, when they receive some small illumination, they might think that there are no greater degrees than what they have attained, and will therefore have no need to ask for anything more. And because of this, Abraham's question to the Creator was, by what will I know? That they will have the need to inherit the spiritual land. Thus, he was asking the Creator to tell him how it might happen that they will have light without a kli. Abram understood that the Creator gives the light, but the vessels, meaning a desire for greater lights than they already received, who would make them see that they need to achieve greater ascension than they feel now? There is a rule in spirituality that anything spiritual that comes to a person makes him feel unsurpassable wholeness. Since anything spiritual is a complete feeling, without any deficiency, otherwise it is not regarded as spiritual. For only in a corporeal matter can there be pleasure, and still we feel that there is a greater pleasure. This is not so in spirituality. Thus, Abraham wondered how and through what they would have a need to ask the Creator to give them greater degrees, called inheritance of the land. He said that the Creator's reply to him, know for certain that your descendants will be foreigners in a land that is not theirs, means that from here, meaning from the exile in Egypt, they will have a need to ask the Creator to give them greater strength each time. The reason is that when a person begins to advance in the work of the Creator and wants all his actions to be in order to bestow, he sees that he cannot prevail, That time one asks the Creator to help him. As our sages said, he who comes to purify is aided. And the Holy Zohar asks, how is he aided? With a holy soul. Indeed, everything that they overcame in the work sank in the earth. As he says about their building of Pitom and Ramses, that is, each day they had to start their work anew because everything they built went into the abyss. And they always saw themselves as though they had never begun to work because they did not remember any word of Torah and concerns work and always reflect on themselves. Where is our work, the efforts we put into the work? Where did they go?
ועוד יותר מזה, היה קשה להבין.
It is even more difficult to understand how the klipa of Pharaoh could swallow all their work to the point that they did not feel that they ever engaged in serving the Creator.
שהייתה פעם שעסקו בעבודת השם.
That their goal was to achieve wholeness, and they knew what they wanted.
פתאום באו למצב, לידי מצב, ששכחו הכל.
And they came to a state where they forgot everything, and no recollections remained in them from their work.
וזה היה הכל בכוונה.
All this was deliberate.
שהקדוש ברוך הוא
The Creator has prepared a klipa for this purpose so as to constantly keep them in a state of beginning. It is known that all beginnings are tough, so they will be forced to ask the Creator to help them. As said above, that he who comes to purify is aided. And as the Holy Zohar says, that each time they receive a holy soul, which is a force from above, meaning that each time they receive additions to the soul, this accumulates into a great amount. As it is known that what is given from heaven is not taken back.
However,
although each illumination received from above departs for the time being, in the end, when he completes the amount of labor that one must do, as in everything that is in the might of your hand to do, that do, he receives at once everything he had received one at a time. He thought that it all went to the klipot, but then he receives everything back. According to the above, it follows that the whole matter of the exile in Egypt was in order to receive vessels and a need for the great lights, called inheritance of the land. This is what Abraham was perplexed about and said that he did not see that his sons would have a need for these great lights. And since there is no light without a kli, it turns out that even if there is a desire to give them, They have no vessels in which to receive. For this reason, they were given the exile in Egypt, where through the questions and arguments of the Egyptians, they will be continuously emptied from what little Kedusha they had acquired, for they suckled from them. For this reason, they will always need to ask the Creator to illuminate their way for them so they can go forward. That they saw that they kept going backwards, which is why the Ari wrote that at the time of the Exodus from Egypt, the people of Israel were in 49 gates of impurity, until the King of Kings appeared to them and redeemed them. This seems to contradict reason, since it is known that Moses and Aaron came to Egypt and spoke to the sons of Israel about the Creator wanting to bring them out from Egypt. They performed all the tokens in Egypt, and they saw the 10 plagues that the Egyptians suffered. And this must have brought Israel closer to Kedusha, and not the opposite, that they kept falling into a deeper gate of impurity, to the point that when it was time to come out of Egypt, meaning when they had to have the best preparation for reception of the light of redemption, we see that when they received the light of redemption, they were in 49 gates of impurity. Is this possible?
As Bana
Sulam explained, the exile in Egypt was in order to obtain the vessels of the Egyptians. But it was only to borrow, and later to return to them. He interpreted that this matter of the Creator saying to Abraham, your descendants will be foreigners in a land that is not theirs, was a guarantee of the inheritance. This means they would have a need to receive the abundance from the Creator. Since wanting to come out of the enslavement of the Egyptians can be only through the help of a holy soul. Then they will need the Creator's help each time. And from this, they will have a need to draw higher degrees. Now we will explain the meaning of the exile in Egypt and the matter of the borrowing of the vessels from the Egyptians. We see that when Moses and Aaron came to the sons of Israel, as it is written, and Moses and Aaron went and gathered all the elders of the sons of Israel. And Aaron said all the words that the Creator has said to Moses, and performed the tokens before the eyes of the people. And the people believed and heard. We see from this that as soon as Moses and Aaron came to the sons of Israel, they accepted all the words that the Creator has said to Moses with faith above reason. And everything that the Egyptians made them understand with all the questions and doubts about the faith of Israel did not count at all because they went above reason. For this reason, the fact that the whole time they were in exile could not impact them at all now. That is, once Moses and Aaron came to the sons of Israel with the Creator's desire to take them out of exile, they promptly took it upon themselves not to listen henceforth to the arguments of the Egyptians, who came in the name of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. That it is better for them to remain under their governance, and who tried to make them see that the way of the Egyptians was true, and they should not listen to what Moses and Aaron were telling them. We see that you are yelling, "Let us go and sacrifice to our God." This made you think that you should leave Egypt and follow them. And we understand that you want to listen to all that they are telling you with eyes shut. Can this be while we are making perfect sense? You have nothing to reply to us, yet you insist that you are willing to go all the way according to the words of Moses and Aaron. From this, we see that after Moses and Aaron came with the message of the redemption, that now they were coming out of enslavement, for they were unable to do the holy work. They were happy with this message and did not need any exaggerations of flavors of Torah and the mitzvot. Rather, they were happy precisely with this, meaning with being able to simply observe in practice. This gave them complete satisfaction, and they delighted in doing their master's will. As it is written, therefore, they cry out, "Let us go and sacrifice to our God." It follows that now that they are coming out from the exile in Egypt with vessels that do not need anything, but as it is written, and the people believed and heard, and they have no need to inherit the land. And the Creator had promised to Abraham, as it is written, "Know for certain, and afterwards they will come out with many possessions." Meaning that the exile was a guarantee that they would have the need to receive the delight and pleasure which is the inheritance of the land that the Creator sought to give to his descendants, because they still did not have the vessels for this and were content with the little. This is why, and the Lord said to Moses, "Speak now in the ears of the people, that each man will borrow from his neighbor, and each woman from her neighbor's vessel of silver and vessels of gold." According to what Bala Sulam interpreted, we should say that it means that they will take the vessels of silver and vessels of gold that the Egyptians have. meaning take their desires and longings, namely all the doubts,
על דרך של עם ישראל. ותמיד המצרים
on the way of the people of Israel. And the Egyptians have demanded for you that everything that you do should be with reason and understanding, and your engagement in overcoming in order to exit self-love, and to do everything in order to bestow is the wrong way. Because the Creator is good and does good. When He created the world, He certainly did it to benefit His creations. Meaning that we creatures will enjoy the delight and pleasure, but you are leaving the right path and taking on a path that is completely against the purpose of creation. You're telling us that this is the true way, that you do not need anything for self-love, but to do everything in order to bestow contentment upon the Maker. But whenever the people of Israel heard the Egyptians slandering the path of bestowal, they would run from them. Meaning, they ran from these thoughts when they came to confuse the thoughts of the sons of Israel and instill their views in the hearts of the sons of Israel. For this reason, the Creator knew that they would not want to hear Egypt's questions and doubts of who and what, but they did not have the vessels in which to place the many possessions, since there is no light without a kli. That is, a person cannot be given anything for which he has no desire. Therefore, if he were to ask the sons of Israel, what do you want me to give you? They would say, we do not want anything from you. On the contrary, our only aspiration is to give to you, and not that you will give to us.
Thus,
how can they receive the delight and pleasure called many possessions, which is considered that he wants to give them nefesh,
ruach,
neshama, chaya, yechida?
Halo, en lahem tzorech beze.
After all, they have no need for this. This is why the Creator wanted them to take the Egyptians' vessels, meaning their questions and doubts, and all their desires, which are the vessels of the Egyptians. But they were not to really take those vessels, only borrow them. That is, they would take the Egyptians' vessels only to have a need to satisfy those deficiencies, but not to really take those, keep those vessels, because the vessels, meaning these thoughts and desires, do not belong to the people of Israel. It is only a temporary borrowing as to a later return to them. That is, afterwards, meaning once they receive the filling that belongs to these questions, precisely through them, it will be possible to bestow upon them the filling. This is similar to receiving the lights that belong to their vessels, which are called vessels of reception in order to receive. However, they promptly threw away their vessels and used the light that belonged to their vessels. They received everything in order to bestow contentment upon the Maker.
נחת רוח ליוצרו.
On the behalf of the Egyptians. This is similar to what we said above, that he said that if the king were to ask Mordechai the righteous, what honor and greatness do you want me to give you? He would reply that he does not want to receive anything from the king. But on the contrary, he wants to give to the king. This is why the king asked Haman what to do with the man whom the king desires to honor. Haman knew what to ask. He said, let them bring royal apparel, which the king has worn, and the horse on which the king has ridden, and on whose head a royal crown has been placed. This is why the king needed Haman's vessels. Meaning that Haman understood that one should receive from the king. For this reason, he had to ask Moses to ask Israel for a favor, that they will borrow the vessels of the Egyptians, meaning temporarily, so they will have a desire and craving to satisfy all the lacks that the Egyptians demanded to satisfy. He had to ask because the people of Israel would settle for what they had and would always run from their thoughts and desires. But now they are told to listen to the questions and doubts of the Egyptians. And since he promised Abraham that afterwards they will come out with many possessions, he needed them to take the Egyptians' vessels only as borrowing, and then give them back. That is, they have nothing to do with their borrowing, and what they took was only temporarily. To be able to receive the lights called inheritance of the land, which the Creator had promised to Abraham. Now we can understand what we asked about how the matter was turned from one end to the other. Since the writing says, and they detested the sons of Israel, meaning they were as thorns, and afterwards, and the Lord gave the people's favor in the eyes of the Egyptians, wanting to hear their questions, the people's favor in the eyes of the Egyptians. Wanting to hear their questions gave favor because they thought they were going their way. And the Lord gave the people's favor by telling them to borrow the vessels from them, since this was what the Egyptians wanted.
What is your impression?
Rav,
could you explain the matter of taking vessels, then receiving the light, and having to give them back? What's that process? Is this a? It's a really unclear process.
Well, you should find the explanation by yourself.
There are many questions about this article. It's a wonderful article, but what is... He tells them, take the vessels of the Egyptians. And it's written, and they took from one another, and each from his friend, and women from their friends as well. What does this mean about our work in the ten? What do we need to do in order to truly take the... these desires and ask through them? What is one from his friend and a woman from her friend?
Indeed, it's a question.
No, mi al rotze.
Well, who else wants to?
Thank you, Rav. He writes that the exile is the security for bestowal. So I got confused here. It's not clear if exile is the vessels or what's after that, where the vessels that are taken and borrowed. Are they two different things or it's the same thing, Kenneth?
What is the difference between exile and...
It seems like there are two processes. First of all, there's exile.
And where is this emptiness felt, the exile, in which vessels?
In what vessels do you feel the exile? I don't know.
No, mi chosef.
Well, who thinks, who feels or understands or wants to say? Which vessels do we need to fill in the end? Yes.
Rav, אנחנו לומדים שיש מצב כזה.
We learn that there's a state that, in order to receive bestowal, we seemingly are going in the wrong phase time. And then it's kind of like in order to strengthen bestowal, to strengthen the faith. Here it appears as if there's some development in acquiring vessels that are opposite bestowal. But this is kind of like the goal. It's not some step on the way to strengthen the input.
Strengthen the faith. How does the people of Israel, who don't want anything, how do they get the vessels of the Egyptians that want everything?
No, no.
Well.
אבל אנחנו לומדים שדווקא הכלים של ה...
Well, we learned that specifically the vessels of bestowal and love and faith are the vessels that the abundance can be received in. You cannot receive in another way.
כן.
Yes.
אז המצרים בעצם זה לא איזשהו...
So the Egyptians are actually not some... Well, I don't understand yet how the Egyptians have these great vessels. After all, there's no screen, there's no... There's nothing. So what can you receive?
You receive their vessels and you start to work with them. The smallest vessel to the greatest vessel.
אני לא מבין איזה כלי יש למצרים.
I don't understand what vessel the Egyptians have. What is the vessel there?
The
entire will to receive.
But he can't behave in a direct way like the Egyptians.
Doesn't need to. It doesn't need to.
But it
can draw a person to the goal bit by bit. When I look at myself, if I know that I need to receive something, I understand that to receive pleasure means that it immediately turns off. There is nothing to it. Rav, you don't want to receive pleasure. You, first of all, want to receive the intention. This is clear. That's it. And after you get the intention, then you chase after the feeling. That I don't yet understand. Yes?
Rav, he
says that the Egyptians bring with them questions and doubts.
This
is not the will to receive, it's a question or a doubt. So what do they bring with them? Israel were in the desire to bestow. They don't have this desire. The Egyptians don't bring a will to receive, they bring questions and doubts. How does that help? Rav, what else is needed? This is what is not clear to me, because if I want to bestow, if Israel want to bestow, they have that, they have a desire to bestow. So this desire is wide open. You have the still, vegetative, animated speaking, the heart of reality. Go ahead and bestow. What do the Egyptians' questions and doubts add here? That they can add their questions to the intention of Israel. This is what ultimately happens. But as I understand it, he writes that Israel have the intention. They have an intention to bestow. The Egyptians come and they destroy it for them. They come with questions and doubts. How does it help Israel? What does it give them? If I want to bestow and all I lack is the desire that I can feel, the Creator created the will to receive. He created the seal, vegetative, animate. So what's missing? Nothing is missing. Nothing is missing. Okay. So, what are we doing for 1 week in Egypt, in order to receive? Well, if I look at us, at myself, in my state, I see that I'm Egyptian. I don't have the intention that Israel had in Egypt. So I can understand that I need to build an intention through the process that we're going through in Passover. But in the story itself, as he describes it in the article, I don't understand why they needed the Egyptians, because they had a basic desire to bestow. They came in to Egypt with such a desire, so it's not clear. What do the Egyptians add to them? What did they give them in this process? Rav, are you listening to what he's asking? Does anyone understand it? Yes. The way I understand, to borrow means not to keep the Egyptians' desires, but only
to receive what we want and throw away the desires.
Well, not to use it, maybe to try to understand how we rise above these desires, but to understand them, because otherwise I'm just in bestowal, but I'm disconnected from reality, from the will to receive.
Well.
So I have to understand these desires, otherwise I'm simply disconnected from it. I have to understand the Egyptians' desire and then rise above it. But that's how I understand
it.
And in what vessels do you receive what you need?
I don't
know how to answer it.
Yes.
Maybe as an example of what Israel asked, let's say, I have a friend who loves some dish very much. I don't have a special affection to this dish, but he wants it very much. He really yearns for it. So I make an effort. I try to prepare this dish exactly the way he likes it, as he likes it, and then I invite him to me, to a meal. And actually, I enjoy the fact that I see him enjoying the meal while he's eating it. So it's as though I borrowed his vessel and I worked with his vessel. He receives satisfaction and I receive satisfaction because he receives satisfaction.
That's not exactly the correct explanation, but if you don't feel his lack, if you don't feel the pleasure he receives, then it's not really a real action.
The will receive, wants to receive abundance and pleasure, doesn't know how. This is called Egyptian. Through this desire, Israel have a place to work. They can bestow to it. They can take his desire, his lack, and work with that, and give contentment to the Creator.
Meaning, what connection is there here between the Egyptian and Israel? Yes? In the attainment of the purpose of creation.
The Egyptian lacks light of chassadim. He's narrow.
Yes.
And he wants to feel good. He wants to feel the abundance. He wants to be close to the Creator. And Israel can take this desire and work with it.
What
does that mean?
What does it mean? The nice question that Eyal asked.
Anyone
who is asking a question here, he wants to reach the end of correction. This is his Egyptian that wants to reach the end of correction.
Yes.
We make this scrutiny together.
And
this is something that is close to Israel. Connection, through thinking and having concern. Can I add to the questions?
Is
there isn't an active action of borrowing the vessels, or simply by incorporating with the Egyptians, we already absorb their desires?
Of course, without the Egyptians, we will have no desire for this.
But what is this action of borrowing? What is the action a person has to do in order to borrow the vessels? Or is it simply by simply existing in Egypt, he absorbs these desires, these vessels?
He needs these vessels in order to receive in them, but later he doesn't need the vessels and doesn't need the filling.
I'm asking about the way to receive the vessels. How do we receive these vessels?
The vessels for what?
Vessels of the Egyptians. He writes that we need to borrow vessels from the Egyptians.
Yes.
What is this borrowing, this act of borrowing? Or is it that simply in the state of Egypt, you simply get them without any action on your side? You simply absorb it.
Yes.
So I'm asking, do you simply receive it, or do you perform some action in order to receive it?
Of course, an action.
So what kind of action? What is this borrowing of the vessels? How do you borrow?
You use these desires.
So it's in you already.
When?
What
is the borrowing of the vessels? What does it mean that I borrow their vessels? What do I do?
You want to use these vessels, you come closer to them and acquire them.
How do I receive these vessels? They exist in me, or do I have to do something in order to receive these vessels?
No, you awaken them.
How do I awaken them?
You're willing to go down to the 49 gates of impurity.
Which means
that you receive the vessels of the Egyptians.
What did I do in order to receive the Egyptians' vessels?
You simply agree with this.
Okay.
Now, what are these desires and yearnings that the Egyptians had and Israel do not have?
No.
Well, did you hear the question? Yes, you are.
If we think that everything that happens in one person, then maybe it means that a person simply awakens within himself the desires that belong to the Egyptians. And the act of borrowing is that he agrees to use the force of drawing. But he throws away their intention. He brings back the intention. I don't want to use the intention, but I do want to use the force of drawing the lights.
Yes.
No,
Dudi,
what's going on?
I have other questions. When we come out of Egypt, what do we take from Egypt or do we leave back in Egypt?
We take from Egypt the vessels.
What remains in Egypt then?
Nothing.
The
people of Israel need those vessels.
So we take everything, really. We don't leave anything behind.
Yes.
When we borrow the vessels from the Egyptians, where do we have the confidence that later on we will be able to give back the vessels of the Egyptians and they won't remain in us?
We use these vessels. When we reach the end of correction, we need all these vessels. Also the lights. Everything. We don't leave anything.
But maybe I will take the vessels of the Egyptians and I will not use them correctly, but rather incorrectly.
No, they already see from the darkness. They see the light, the truth.
Okay,
okay, another point he brings up in the article that wasn't clear to me. He writes, as soon as Moses and Aaron came to the people of Israel, they took upon themselves all the things that the Lord had said to Moses with faith above reason. How Israel in Egypt immediately took upon themselves faith above reason.
They were ready for this, only not actively.
In the state of Egypt, a person can reach faith above reason?
He has what to work against.
A little bit like Gilad, but can we see this process in the 10 again? When Moses and Aaron come to the 10, and we connect above reason, and
that you guys need to explain to us.
Also, these pharaohs, the Egyptians, it seems like it is within reason. If you look at the state of the 10 within reason, we see many flaws and drawbacks, as if we reached a connection on a certain level, and we have an intention, we want to give contentment to the Creator with this connection.
Yes.
But if we open up the reason of the Egyptians in the 10, we will find snakes and scorpions there. So what do? We go with a greater above reason?
Probably yes. What do you think, Gilad?
This is exactly the direction. Maybe I'm wrong, but we work in the 10 all of the time to rise and discover the Creator between us. It's not in any one of us, but it's above us, between us.
Yes.
This is the work. And then all the time we get doubts and questions and criticism and all the nasty stuff comes out. This is Egypt. Until we see that it actually governs us, we have nothing to do about it. Then we ask for help. We receive something that is truly revealed between us. It doesn't matter what we call it now. And now we realize that all of the doubts we had, all of this, also it wasn't just Pharaoh. That also came from him. We can't just leave that. We have to take it in order to make him even greater. Otherwise, what are we going to do? This is the borrowing of the vessels, each one from his friend, taking the vessels. It's a different, new kind of work when we already have confidence that we already have a grip on something stable between us. Before that, we mustn't touch it. But now we have to touch it and use it, otherwise we'll have nothing with which to continue. It's all in the 10. Otherwise,
Shake it. No.
Do we agree with his answer? Well, quiet.
I'm asking to look at it maybe with a broader perspective. Earlier, you said that we need to reach the 49 gates of impurity. That is, if we look at the whole world and at the people of Israel, and I see their desires to receive for themselves. This is the borrowing of the vessels that I need to get closer to them and make a correction over them.
That you should answer.
So what did you mean?
What desires to receive do you see today in the people of Israel?
Everything. Food, sex, family, money, honor, knowledge. Well, you say that we need to reach all these levels and borrow all these desires. And over them, we have to correct the intention, so it will be in order to bestow. I don't really want to get closer to these desires on the levels that I feel
them.
I understand you want to run away from them, but now you have what to ask for.
My request, I'm asking, how do I perform this correction? I feel it, I see what is happening in our people, in our nation, I feel these desires very strongly. I'm asking, what is the next step that I need to make in order to correct them?
Connection and prayer. And the sons of Israel will sigh from the work.
No.
That's it. And their sigh and cry went up to God from the work.
I need to connect with all of the people of Israel on these levels. Meaning, on the one hand, we work in the 10, which is a very internal level, like Gilad and the friends are speaking here. On the other hand, we also have to reach out to connect all of the desires of all of the people of Israel. I'm asking, what is the action that we need to perform? What is the next step that we need to perform? If we really feel it, we look out and we see this whole mess, we see all of the desires to receive for themselves of all of the people of Israel where they are.
Yeah, so what are you lacking?
What's lacking? A prayer to ask for them, that's it.
Incorporation? That we will receive the desires from them in our vessels. In order to bestow, in our order to bestow. Their coarseness, that's called the vessels of Haman.
הכוונה של מרדכי.
With the intention of Mordechai.
איך מודדים את ה...
How do we measure
שאתה נמצא ב...
you are
מכוון
directed towards the quality of bestow with vessels, like you said now, with Yossi. Where is that point of the focal point that says you're Israel, but you're with the vessels of the Egyptians?
Yes, that's called the exile.
זה בדיוק נקרא גלות.
That exactly is called the exile. So what is?
נו, ויאנחו.
A strong hand.
כן, כן, כן.
But they sighed by reason of the bondage.
שלא יכולים לעשות שום דבר.
That they can't do anything, I guess. שלא יכולים להיות
ישראל.
That they cannot be Israel. That the desires to receive are stronger than the thought all day about the friends, about the quality of bestowal, about connection, prayer for the people of Israel. There are so many things that Israel seemingly needs to be directed at, and all these corporeal desires are controlling them.
Yes.
So where are the vessels of the Egyptians? You are an Egyptian yourself.
No, no.
Okay, well, so that's exactly the question, Rav. How do we create the Israel as being stronger than the Egyptian and then take from him the vessels? So what are we lacking here?
Ken.
בוקר טוב.
אמרנו
הרבה על התקללות והשאלת כלים.
We talked a lot about incorporation and borrowing the vessels, so I just wanted to perceive this matter. Yeah. I don't know if it's logical or possible, but let me know if this example is okay. Let's say that there's a friend who's he's a fearful guy. He's always afraid. Every little thing makes him afraid. And there's another friend who knows how to manage all these things. So what, the guy who's afraid, what, he knows how to take some kind of qualities from the brave one and use those vessels? Or you're stuck with your set for the whole life?
You're right. That's a question. And that's exactly the action we need to do.
Yep.
The Creator takes the weak and helps them succeed.
Yeah,
but how can I take something, some quality or something like that, some vessel from someone else, and then I use it? Yeah, so they get new qualities. Yep. That's that he takes the weak and puts them in the hands of the strong. So I can take qualities from a friend and use them. Let's say there's a friend who's more patient. Yeah, yeah. Should I ask for such a thing and to use it? Yes, of course. Incorporate from one another till we reach one whole vessel. Is it similar to an example? Yes, yes. Through the connection, we as a ten reach one vessel. That's how it's going to be.
We learned that in this interesting discussion, scrutiny, that bestowing in order to bestow what the Israeli have, what they have, let's say, in Egypt, the Israeli, the Jews, let's say, call it that. How much power do they have, let's say, in bestowing in order to bestow?
להשפיע על מנת להשפיע. כמה כוח יש להם כשהם יורדים למצרים?
How to measure?
Now, how much do they have, let's say, to be able to continue the work, to be able to receive the vessels of the and to work with, let's say, the vessels of the Egyptians?
No, they can't. It's written, the opposite is written, that the Egyptians love the work of the Jews.
So how big do these vessels need to be? These vessels of reception? In order to receive, let's say, the inheritance of the land.
That's already the other half of the exile. But in the beginning, they were in Egypt. The Egyptians enjoyed their work. That's why they didn't want to let them out. Because what the Jews can do, the Egyptians can't. Because their intention is in order to bestow. If it works in order to receive, so it's a big addition for Egypt.
Do they already have the intention already, or do you already need to develop the intention along the way of the borrowing?
Yes. But in practice, there is something.
Yes. Yep. Yes. And how do they guard? How do you guard, let's say, working with the vessels of the Egyptians when you're, let's say, in bestowing in order to bestow, you're going to the vessels of the Egyptians. How can you guard them that you are not using the wrong intention? What is the work of the guarding?
The question is right, but I can't explain it.
So what can we do? Let's say we want to come out of we get these full desires. We want to get out. We build this strength of receiving to want to get out. But we don't want to use it for ourselves. But this is so great that actually I want to use it for myself. How do we guard it that we can use it for receiving it only in the correct way, that we use it for to receive
only through prayer, only by prayer. And the children of Israel sighed from the work, and their despair went up to God from the work. Then the Creator starts working on them. He expects those prayers, those cries that will specifically come from the will to receive, that yearns to bestow.
No.
So only through prayer for each other? Is that what's called, let's say, arvut, that we pray for each other?
Of
course, yes. Along with the Arvut, along with working the work of slavery in Egypt and getting blows. And from that, their prayer reaches an answer.
So I should constantly guard the friend so that he doesn't use it for himself.
Yes, of course. The connection between us while we're in Egypt
and
coming closer to the exodus of Egypt, that's something essential.
Okay.
Да, дорогой Раф, а что такое вообще килим египтян?
What are the vessels of the Egyptians? The egoistic desires are the most natural, pure way.
It's
written that there are vessels of gold, vessels of silver. What does that mean?
Yeah, gold is the fourth phase, silver is the third phase.
I want to connect with my friends in the quality of bestowal, to connect with the Creator. Where are the vessels of Egyptians in that?
In all your egoistic desires.
But we learn that I need to rise above them maximally, to not use them, but to connect with the friends, not to think about the egoistic desires of mine. So what does it mean that I ask them? So what does it mean that I borrow them, sir?
So you're asking the Egyptians.
Отдачи,
for their desires and intentions to bestow.
Свет, который находится у них, немножко света, ты используешь его.
And you use the bit of light that's in them, you use it,
которые проходят
your egoistic desires,
осознание зла,
that go through the stage of recognition of evil. They recognize how they're opposite from the Creator.
And
in that way, you start rising above the ego. You reject it. And that's how your exodus from Egypt begins.
The
vessels that we borrow, do we take them afterward to the desert or to the land of Israel? What happens to these vessels afterward?
They are very good vessels. They guard us. Afterwards, on every degree, you can check what's happening with them.
I
didn't understand the question.
How can a person return the vessels?
Oh, return the vessels, and?
And what does it make him feel?
That we'll have to learn.
But צריך גם כן לקבל כל האורות האלה בעל מנת להשפיע.
He needs to receive all these lights also in order to bestow.
While
in Egypt you still can't do that. But when one already comes out of Egypt, he uses them to receive in order to bestow, and his vessels get corrected.
Yes, Rav, I think you answered the question about the vessels changing when we return them to the Egyptians, because it's a lot of work to work with these vessels, and the Egyptians, I don't know, they're not going to give up all these vessels without something in return. So are the vessels changed? In what way are they changed?
We'll still have to learn how to use those vessels. It's good vessels, they're heavy. Yep. All the vessels are good. And all the lights that come against them, that exist in them, it all comes from Egypt. That's why Israel must go into Egypt in order to bring them out. The vessels with the lights outside of Egypt, and then to learn how to work with them in order to bestow.
בוקר טוב חברים, בוקר טוב רב. אני להרגשתי רב, אנחנו חיים היום.
In my sensation, we are living this period today. We see the forces in the world, these desires of Haman, and we as Bnei Baruch are trying to create that force of Mordechai. And that sorrow that you feel between the feeling of Mordechai and the feeling of what's happening around you really brings great sorrow, which raises a prayer. Can we take that limitation?
You can do whatever you want. Just the more you can, separate yourself from your haters and do what you need to do in order for you to be connected from within Israel, and then you add them back to you. Otherwise, all in all, you're just waiting until they will win. Subtitle, Taking After the Collective. Our scriptures say, take after the collective. This means that wherever there is a dispute between the collective and the individual, we are obliged to rule according to the will of the collective. Thus you see that the collective has a right to expropriate the freedom of the individual. But we are faced with a different question here, even more serious than the first. It seems as though this law regresses humanity instead of promoting it. This is because while most of humanity is undeveloped, and the developed ones are always the small minority, if you always determine according to the will of the majority, which are the undeveloped and the reckless, the views and desires of the wise and developed in society, which are always a minority, will never be heard and be taken into consideration. Thus you seal off humanity's fate to regression, for it will not be able to make even a single step forward. However, as explained in the article, The Peace, section Necessity to Practice Caution with the Laws of Nature, since we were ordered by Providence to lead a social life, we have become obligated to observe all the laws pertaining to the sustenance of nature, of society. And if we are somewhat negligent, nature will take its revenge on us, regardless of whether or not we understand the reasons for the laws.
And
we can see that there is no other arrangement by which to live in society except following the law of taking after the collective, which sets every dispute and tribulation in society in order. Thus, this law is the only instrument that gives society sustainability. For this reason, it is considered one of the natural mitzvot, commandments of Providence, and we must accept it and guard it meticulously, regardless of our understanding. This is similar to the rest of the commandments of the Torah,
All of them are nature's laws and his providence, which come to us from above downward. I've already described how the whole of reality, seen in the nature of this world, is only because they are extended and taken from the laws and conducts of upper spiritual worlds. Now you can understand the mitzvot of the Torah are but laws and conducts set in higher worlds, which are the roots of all of nature's conducts in this world of ours. Hence, the laws of the Torah always match the laws of nature in this world as two drops of water. Thus we have proven that the law of taking after the collective is the law of providence in nature.
Meaning here we see that he already arranges for us an explanation about the whole of creation.
In the beginning of this paragraph, he asks, he says that if we follow the many, so humanity will deteriorate, and he doesn't answer that. In the end, it ends like, well, these are the laws of nature, this is how it works. So what do you do with that question? Is it really right that humanity is destined to deteriorate?
If humanity would follow the collective, take after the collective.
Yeah, that's what he says, that if humanity follow the many, it will go down. And then he doesn't answer it. He just says, that's it, it's a law, and
it's a law where in the end of it all, we understand that we need to take after the individual.
So if humanity will really follow the many, by the way, that's kind of what we see around us in reality.
They will learn that, yes.
So, from a different direction, how can we show outward to humanity that they are going down and not advancing? Because everybody's in a feeling, if you talk to people not from here, that we're advancing, look what we have this and that, and...
Okay, we still haven't reached the recognition of evil.
Yeah. Except for suffering, they won't have any recognition of evil.
No, for no person at all. Is that all? Nice.
Who is that individual he's writing about that we have to follow?
Seems like that same greatest of the generation who would reveal, who will be accepted by everyone.
So now there is no reason, we don't talk about individual?
Now we are not taking after the individual.
Yeah, we're not. But if we find that individual here,
there is none.
None? So how do we know when he will come?
So he will become revealed in some kind of way.
Do we need, well, not us, will they need to acknowledge him as the individual?
Seems yes.
He will have to prove it.
It also seems yes.
Okay.
Yes, hello, dear Rav. I have a question that has been lingering for a long time, and I think this article will bring it to a close. I wondered about anomaly. Many people, especially here, seem to have the quality of bestowal. And I'm going to venture to say they've had it for a long, long time.
שיש להם את זה כבר תקופה ארוכה.
Can we inherit the tendency to bestow?
Ken.
Yes.
Thank you. That's lovely.
That's what we actually do in our connection in the tens, in our work, our common work. Yes.